it's not always easy to build an audience or a following, but there are lots of good ways that you can go about getting ad dollars. So if you were to compare, like, okay, I have to put all of this really intense work in to build a sizable enough audience to make enough in ad dollars for it to make sense, compare that work to how much work does it cost for you to create and market and sell your own product. Now, I think that the number one reason why people in business should have a podcast is because you can market and sell your own products when you are building that rapport with your audience. Instead of using all of that influence to sell someone else's product, you can use that influence to sell your own product.
How do I make money with my podcast? If you've typed this question into Google, this is where you're going to find answers. Founder of True Native Media, Heather Osgood, is a podcast advertising specialist. And in this episode, Heather reveals how podcasters book advertisers. She also shares tips to increasing your downloads and other ways besides advertisements, podcasters are turning a profit. Hello and welcome back. If you are new here, hi, my name's Christine and I am a journalist, a longtime TV news reporter, and now a podcast producer and coach. And I work with people to help them figure out what their special sauce is, what makes them newsworthy so that they can create a podcast around it. And I enjoy it so much. I love working with people and figuring out what that thing is. Because guys, I don't know if you find this, sometimes you just need to speak out what's on your mind and what's on your heart. And you might have a bunch of different ideas and you're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do with this? And I love hearing these things and looking at someone and figuring out, oh, this is your thing. This is how you should do it. And this is the way to do it. Here's your path. Here's your toolkit. Go for it. I'm excited to see you succeed. So that's one of the things that I do when I'm working with people, when I'm coaching them. And I love it so much. One of the questions a lot of my clients share with me is, how do I make money with my podcast? And I always tell everyone that is not the reason, one, to get into podcasting, but two, it is a very awesome thing that can come out of podcasting. And first and foremost, you should always think, how can I make an impact with my audience? What is my thing? How can I serve them? And once we figure that out, then figuring out how to take it that one further step to actually make money with your podcast is so much easier. So on this week's episode, we dive into answering that very question, how do I make money with my podcast, with podcast advertising specialist Heather Osgood. She is amazing because not only does she share how you can work with advertisers, how to get advertisements in your podcast, but she also shares what you can do to increase your downloads so that you can start those conversations with advertisers. And she shares other ways you can make money with your podcast without using advertisements. So guys, this is a really great episode. I'm really looking forward to you hearing it. Heather is also a podcaster, so she understands the struggles and the stresses that you might be feeling on your own podcasting journey. So let me know what you think about this episode. I do want to share that there is some mic issues. So you're going to notice them. Please forgive me. My mic was not hooked up for like the first half of the episode and I fixed it by the second half and you'll notice. But you know what? Sometimes these accidents happen, but we keep on plugging forward and there's still so much juicy stuff in this episode that I had to air it. So without further ado, here you go. Hello and welcome to the show. Today we have founder at True Native Media and host of the podcast Advertising Playbook, Heather Osgood. Heather, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me on this show. I'm excited to chat with you and your listeners.
Yes, and we are excited to have you. You guys, Heather knows what's what when it comes to getting ads in your podcast. That is what she does all the time. Heather, can you break it down for us really what a day in your life is like?
Yeah, absolutely. So at True Native Media, we represent about 60 different podcasts, and our sole role is to connect podcasts with advertisers. So I spend a lot of time talking to prospective advertisers. We work with both agencies as well as directly with companies. And yeah, I would say half my day is spent talking to advertisers and about half of my day is spent talking to podcasters. Of course, we have a staff, and since I'm the founder, I get to manage our team as well. But really, yeah, it's just about trying to make the connections. And we're still in a place in podcast advertising where education is a huge element of what we do. And it's just going out and sharing with companies the strength of podcast advertising, what it can do for them, and then helping them to understand the industry and how we can position them for success. Because it can be kind of complicated. It's not super cut and dry. Like, you know, if you're going to place Facebook ads, you just go on Facebook and put in some stuff, you know, put all your bits and pieces in, and then, you know, you've got your campaign running. But if you want to place ads on podcasts, it really is quite a bit more complicated. So I try to help potential advertisers understand the value of podcast advertising.
For our podcasters who are listening, what is the value of having ads in your podcast for the advertiser?
Yeah, the real value of podcast advertising that separates podcasts from really every other kind of media out there is a host-read endorsement ad. When I first got into podcasting, I was shocked by the number of podcast hosts that would turn down advertisers. I had come from a traditional ad sales background where, you know, if a company came to you and they said they had $10,000, you said, great, when can you get started? And now, you know, if a company comes, CBD is a good example. There's a bazillion CBD companies out there who want to advertise in podcasts, but there aren't a ton of podcasts who are, you know, comfortable advertising CBD products. So there is a big element of, you know, really that selection process where the host is looking at a company and saying, is this going to be a good fit for me? And the value that the host then brings to the advertiser is this ability to say, I use this product and it is amazing. And the way I always look at it is if a friend were to come up to me in conversation and tell me about an amazing skincare product they were using, I would listen. There's about a bazillion skincare products out there, and having a friend make a recommendation is extremely helpful. And in the same way, as a podcast host, you have formed a very unique relationship with your audience, and you have the ability to provide them with education and information about products and services that you deem valuable to them. And advertisers can't, you know, get that everywhere. That's not an easy thing to get. If you think about advertising, most advertising is very kind of outbound, in your face, you know, hey, look at me kind of ads. And with podcast advertising, it's really, it's like having a friend recommend something to you, which gives it so much power to an advertiser.
Because I do see this, and I feel that there is a difference between having ads in podcasts and still having that friend on social media, say Instagram. Like, what is it about that relationship of the podcaster and the listener that's different and valuable compared to a social media influencer and viewer?
I personally think that it has a lot to do with the audio aspect. When you hear someone's voice and when you are listening to their voice, literally in your head for hours, it feels like you know them. And I'm sure we've all had these, you know, experiences in life where, whether it's a podcaster or whether it's, you know, maybe a local newscaster where we run into them at the store and we're like, gosh, that person looks so familiar. I'm sure I've met them before, you know, and then you're like, oh wait, I haven't actually met them. I've just seen them on TV a bunch. And it's the same thing with a podcast. When you listen to a podcast, you listen to somebody's voice so much, you feel like you know them. When you look at somebody on Instagram and you see their pictures, you know, I think you do get a sense that you feel like you know them as well, but it also feels very arm's length. And I think that that component of the audio really brings a lot of power to their influence.
There is something about hearing someone just kind of shoot the breeze with you day in and day out, and they get your life somehow, and they're still like providing information and entertainment and just like this connection that somehow just
really works. And when it comes to ads, right, there is a threshold when it comes to working with actual like advertisers and big companies for podcasters. And so I know that there's a lot of podcasters who want to have ads in their podcast, but they're like, how do I do this? How else do I monetize if I'm not having ads in my podcast? So can you talk a little bit about what it takes to monetize in the sense of working with advertisers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's always really important to remember that when you're producing a podcast, it's a national product. Of course, there are podcasters out there who create local podcasts for a local community, but most of the time, at least how podcasts are being consumed now, they are being consumed on a national scale. So, you know, if you were a podcaster and maybe you have a good friend who owns a house painting company, you could approach that person and say, hey, do you want to advertise on my show? And they may want to advertise on your show and you may have more listeners locally, but realistically, you're going to benefit as an advertiser from advertising on a podcast if you have a product that can be consumed nationally, which obviously with the internet and people buying so many goods and services online now, it's very easy because there are lots of online businesses. So you don't have to be this huge organization to buy podcast ads. But when you think about it from a podcaster perspective in terms of getting advertisers, you do want to think about the types of companies that would be interested and a good fit to advertise on your show. And there are definitely several ways that you can go about getting advertisers for your podcast. You can be your own sales representative. And if that's something you want to do, I encourage you to do that.
And what do you mean by that?
So, I mean, it's you going directly to companies. So you could make a list of, let's say, 10 companies online, preferably, that you think would be a good fit for you, and then approach them and say, hey, I've got this podcast. Are you interested in advertising? There's a ton of nuance. I actually created a course all around how people can pitch themselves because it is so, you know, nuanced. There's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through to be successful in that. But you can do that. And if that is something that you're interested in, I encourage you to do that. If you are a podcast that is in a very specific, targeted kind of niche environment, selling ads on your own can be a very good way of going about doing it because you might have association relationships that can be very powerful, that can bring you income and ad dollars that a representation firm could not do. I don't have relationships in a whole bunch of very specific industries. So if you were to come to me and say, hey, Heather, you know, our podcast is all about, you know, the hot air balloon industry. I don't have any relationships in the hot air balloon industry, so I wouldn't be able to help you, but you may have, and my guess is if you're in that industry, you probably do have a lot of good relationships. So if you are someone that has a very, very targeted podcast, it can be really effective for you to try to sell ads on your own. However, for most of us, if you're not in a very specific arena with your podcast, going to a representation firm, going to some different outlets to sell ads for you can be a really good way of going about doing that.
And how would people find the right person to do that with? And what do they need? Do they need to have a standard amount of downloads?
I always like to address the download number because you hear different things from people all the time. And truthfully, my favorite is when people say, downloads don't matter. And I'm like, how many ads have you sold? Downloads do matter, actually. So they may not matter as much depending on the types, the quantities, and the dollar amounts that you were hoping to get from an advertiser. But if you are really looking to make money as a podcaster through advertising, you really do need to grow a solid listener base. And the question is always, what is that number? How many downloads do you need to have? And the reality is that if you're getting more than 1,000 downloads per episode, you've got an extremely successful podcast when you stack yourself up to all the other shows out there. However, if you're getting 1,000 downloads per episode, probably is not quite enough downloads unless you are in a very specific niche audience. I worked with a podcast for a while. They essentially worked specifically with governmental contractors. So the content of their show was targeting government contractors and the people in government who make decisions about how to, you know, put these contracts out there. That is an extremely targeted, very valuable audience. So even if you have 2,000 people in that targeted audience, those 2,000 people are worth a lot. If you are speaking to doctors, if you are speaking to, you know, C-level executives, if you're speaking to like high tech, like those are very targeted industries that people will pay a lot to reach. So if you are in that place, then your numbers don't matter as much. But if you're creating broad content, whether it's comedy or sports or business or self-help or even entertainment, you know, those sorts of topics, you need to have a decent sized audience. And typically that 5,000 download per episode number is a really good place to start. So having that threshold of listenership is important. The other thing that I think is really important for you to consider is that advertisers are advertising with you because they are looking for a return on their investment. They want to see that advertising with your show is going to positively return money to their business. And if you go to them and you say, it's $500 an ad and I have 1,000 listeners, how many customers are they going to need to get to recoup that $500 spend with you? And you know what? You might get them as a one-time advertiser, but you're definitely not going to get them as a repeat advertiser because it's overpriced. The number of customers you could possibly bring them is quite low. And I think as podcasters, sometimes it can be difficult for us to really think about it from the advertiser's perspective. It's not just about you and making money. It's about a win-win situation and how the advertiser is benefiting from the partnership with you.
That was a lot of information. All very good information. And I love how you're talking about recouping, because ROI, getting a return on their investment for advertisers, is so important. So if you're a podcaster and you can prove that, you know, working with you means that advertisers will see a return on their investment, you have a lot of power there. And that's, you know, really exciting. And yes, you know, the 5,000 download mark is might seem huge and maybe even unattainable. It's not. But also, it might take you a while to get there if we're being realistic. There's, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there and it may take some time to be a success. But Heather and I were talking about this right before we jumped on the recording. You don't necessarily have to have a ton of downloads, 5,000 downloads, to start making money with your podcast. There are much quicker ways you can do this. And Heather, would you actually have any suggestions for people? I know what I would say, but do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the reason that people gravitate toward advertising so much is we have this thought process that it's going to be easy. I know that for my 12-year-old, she's like, I want a YouTube channel because as soon as I get a YouTube channel, I'm going to get tons of ad dollars. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, that's not how it works, right? You have to build a following and then those ad dollars come. And to your point, it's not always easy to build an audience or a following, but there are lots of good ways that you can go about getting ad dollars. So if you were to compare, like, okay, I have to put all of this really intense work in to build a sizable enough audience to make enough in ad dollars for it to make sense. Compare that work to how much work does it cost for you to create and market and sell your own product. You know, I think that the number one reason why people in business should have a podcast is because you can market and sell your own products when you are building that rapport with your audience. Instead of using all of that influence to sell someone else's product, you can use that influence to sell your own product. And I also think that you can look at a podcast as just being part of your overall marketing mix, right? If it's part of your overall marketing mix, it allows you to incorporate everything that you're doing and go back to this idea of what your business is doing and how you are selling products or how you are marketing yourself. And whether you're a course creator, whether you're an author, whether you are an e-commerce store, there are so many different ways that you can market yourself. And then there, you know, beyond that, of course, you could create events. If you were more of an entertainer type podcast, live events in podcasting are huge. Granted, we do have that little pandemic thing going on, But at some point that'll go away, and live events really are a very good way to make money. You know, creating, there's obviously the Patreon route where you're getting listener support. You can definitely create and sell your own products, you know, meaning like actual merchandise. There are so many great sites out there. So there are lots of different ways that you can create and monetize your podcast beyond just selling ads.
Heather, I think you hit all of them. I think there's also, you know, affiliate relationships, and that can actually be really helpful if you have a product and you know somebody, or you know your audience would really benefit from a product that's maybe similar or complementary to what you have, and you want to, you know, build a relationship with someone who sells that complementary product and then work with them to sell their product, you can actually probably get a higher cut of the sales of that product based on your ad for their product on your show.
Yes.
But yeah, there are other ways to make money with your podcast, but we're here, we're talking about ads. So Heather, can you tell me a little bit more about you and what you do at True Native Media? I mean, you said that you originally started in the more traditional sales route.
Yeah, I actually started my career in radio ad sales. So I did radio ad sales, I did newspaper sales, and then I started my own trade show production company, which was really just in-person marketing that I did. And then when I sold my trade show production company that I had for almost 10 years, for the first time in my adult life, beyond my children, I didn't have this full-time, you know, job and commitment. And I looked around the podcast industry, which I was really intrigued by. And I was like, gosh, there's all of these shows that don't have ads. And that really intrigued me. I had an opportunity to speak with Rob Greenlee from Libsyn yesterday in an interview I was doing with him. And he made a comment that I thought was so intriguing. And what he said was that podcasts were originally created with the intention of not having ads in them. And that was kind of the first time I had ever heard anybody say that. And it made so much sense. And it's not that we as a society or as an industry, you know, really feel like, gosh, we have to have more ads. But I do feel like, to me, there's this framework in our business, you know, society, where it's awesome for us to be able to promote products and services for advertisers and deliver it in a way that is not bothersome to other people. So I do really like, you know, working in the podcast industry. So seeing all of this open inventory, I thought, gosh, I really should start a company and help podcasters, because at the end of the day, most podcasters are not super interested in selling their own ads. Because, I mean, let's face it, most of the time, they're really not even sure how to sell their own ads. So we provide that service for them. And it's really nice to just work in the ad space and be able to help podcasters and help advertisers.
Could you share like an anecdote or an example of what it was like for them to go from not having ads to having ads in their podcast and how that worked out for them?
Yeah, we have actually worked with quite a few podcasts where they have gone from having no ads ever to having ads, you know, when we're selling them, you know, for them on their shows. And I think that in terms of having ads, I do think that if you've never had ads before in your show, that there are some things that you should consider about putting ads into your show. The ultimate benefit is that you are, for the first time in a lot of cases, monetizing something that you've been really working hard on. I would say that most of the podcasts that we work with do monetize in other ways, whether it's marketing their product or, you know, getting Patreon support or listener support. You know, we do see that most of them do that. But when they transition, I would say, from having no ads to having ads, it's a process of really kind of, I would say, formatting their shows in a way that they feel like, okay, you know, it makes sense now to put an ad in here, and making sure that they're still really nurturing that audience relationship. I think there's always almost like a fear that podcasters have that they've put all this work into building their audience relationship, and that the minute that they bring them an ad, their audience is going to be upset at them in some way. So I feel like it's good to say, hey, you know, we decided we're going to go in this direction. We're going to put ads in the show. We're only going to recommend products that we really believe in. And then also, it's really good for you to encourage your audience to solicit your advertisers, because if your audience does go and purchase and uses the promo codes and things, that really does help that podcast kind of get credit for you. So really thinking about the formatting of your show and bringing your audience in on it, I think, is really helpful.
So can you give an example of what it means to solicit your audience or have your audience solicit an advertiser?
Just purchasing from them. I think a lot of podcast listeners are happy to support the hosts and they want to support the hosts and they don't always know exactly how. And if we're watching TV or, you know, watching a YouTube video, or if we are on Instagram and we see an ad come up, does Instagram really need us to support them by buying an ad off of Instagram, right? I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to buy things off of Instagram, but when you are buying a product that is advertised on a podcast, you really are directly supporting that host, because what happens is that by buying an ad, by using a promo code, the host is getting essentially direct credit for, hey, this really worked. And so as a listener, I do encourage you to really think about it and think about how the purchase you make is going to result in that podcast host being supported by your purchase.
Could you share what like a successful ad read would sound like a mini one?
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of successful ad reads, the thing that's most important is you want the feel of the ad to not be interrupting the flow of the show. So I named our company True Native Media because native means ads that feel like content. So we're not trying to trick anybody. We're not trying to break any laws, but we want the feel of the ad to be enticing to the listener in the same way that the content is enticing to the listener. So as you're approaching creating an ad, if you can make it feel or mimic the way that you would normally create the content for your show, it's going to go a lot further. You want to use some sort of a personal anecdote in your ad read. If you can talk about how this product or service has changed your life or made your life better. The other thing that can be really helpful is to give examples of times when maybe you made, you know, a similar type of purchase and how maybe it didn't work out and how this one has really changed you. So really that personal side of things is important. And then it's also really valuable to make sure you're communicating to your audience what that unique selling proposition of the company is, what makes this product stand out, and why should somebody buy this over another. And usually the company is going to give you talking points that they want you to follow. And then one of the things most people don't think about is that you always want to make sure in an ad that you have some sort of a call to action. Sometimes people will refer to them as CTAs, but you've got to have some sort of a hook that it's like, okay, I told you this great story. I talked about this great product, and now I'm going to bring you a call to action that is going to entice you to go and actually make a buying decision. So those are really the components that a successful ad has.
Yeah. Is there someone who you are working with who does a really good job at this that our listeners could go and check out that podcast and listen to?
That is a really good question. So we work with a variety of podcasts. I feel really privileged to work with Pat Flynn and Smart Passive Income. Pat does everything well, including his ad reads. So I think he does a great job with his ad reads. He also does dynamic insertion with his ads and puts them at the beginning of the show. So if you want to look at that and experience kind of what that's like, check out his show, Smart Passive Income. The other show that we work with that I really like that is probably one people haven't heard of, it's called Out of the Ordinary. And I was listening to their show just this last week, and they just nailed their ad reads. They did such a good job. There's two hosts, which is kind of nice because it gives you like something to play off of. And I think they were advertising BetterHelp and Thrive Market were the two ads that I listened to, but they just did a really good job with them.
If there are people out there who are looking to try and get their downloads up so that they can have ads in their podcasts, is there any advice you would share with them?
Yes. First and foremost, always, always quality, consistent content is so, so important. Think that if you're doing a podcast as a side hustle or a hobby, sometimes it can feel like, oh gosh, I haven't produced an episode. Our family is looking at possibly moving to Sarasota, Florida. And I was listening to a Sarasota podcast about, you know, relocating to Sarasota. Super nice couple, really entertaining. Their content is all over the place. Their distribution calendar is all over the place, right? Like I could not tell you when they're going to put another episode out. So quality, consistent content is super important, both for your listeners and for advertisers. But if you aren't producing quality, consistent content that people can count on, that they know every Tuesday I'm going to get an episode, then you're not going to be able to build an audience. So that's super important and very foundational. Next, podcast listeners listen to podcasts. So really only about 30% of the population actively listen to podcasts. And when you are so seeped into the industry, it feels strange to you that not everyone is listening. So if you are trying to use methods like social media or email or other types of advertising, I'm not saying you should not do those things. You should, but you might not get as good a return on your investment as you could. And when I say investment, you might not get as many new listeners as you could get if you use podcast channels. So what are the channels you can use in that podcast sphere? So first, you can look at interviews, right? I know that if you've been in the industry for 5 minutes, you have heard that interviews help you grow an audience. But interviews help you grow an audience, right? If you are on a show, and my guess is that none of you have ever heard of the podcast advertising playbook before, but if you like what I am talking about, you might decide to go and check that podcast out, right? So just by hearing about it on an interview, you are more likely to go and listen to that person's podcast. Other ways are to buy ads on other podcasts. So I think that that is something that is being talked about more and more. It can be a little challenging, kind of based on the type of show you have. If you are a coach, you probably are going to have a hard time buying ads on someone else's podcast who's also a coach, right? So you might have to get creative about the types of podcasts that you advertise on, but it doesn't matter where you advertise as long as you're advertising to the right target market. So the genre of the podcast doesn't matter as much as the target market listening. So podcast ads can be a good way to build audience. And then lastly, I have had a lot of our shows who have succeeded running ads in podcast players. So I know we recently established a relationship with player.fm. They've got a lot of listeners on Android, but when you pull up the player, you know, there's that carousel of larger highlighted podcasts. And in my opinion, for a really fairly reasonable amount of money, you can get your podcast advertised. And that is a really good way to grow audience, is on those players. You will definitely see direct downloads from something like that.
So when you say player, do you mean like a Castbox as well? Or
correct. But Overcast.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. So there's a lot of different, wherever you listen, your favorite listening app is a player.
Yes, exactly.
So do you guys help podcasters with that? Do you help them sell ad space or like buy ad space with a player or buy ad space in other podcasts?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we do have a relationship with player.fm. So if you're interested in buying ads through player.fm, you can certainly come to me or anyone at the team at True Native Media, and we could help you with that. Or you could also just reach out directly to player.fm. We do help from that perspective, but we also can sell you ads on the podcast we represent. So we only represent, like I said, about 60 shows. So if you came to me and you said, I really want to buy ads on Joe Rogan's podcast, I would have to say no, because we don't work with him. There's only the shows that we work with that we could sell you ads on. But if you were interested in buying ads from us, you could do that. I know that there are other, like AdvertiseCast, I believe, has like a place where you can go and buy ads on other podcasts. So there are, you know, there are some different ways that you can go about doing that. And you can just approach podcasts on your own too and say, hey, you know, and of course I did miss the promo swap. So you could do that as well with people to grow your audience.
How much would it cost for people to buy ads on some of the podcasts that you represent?
So I would say the cheapest that you could get on any of our shows is probably in that like $150, maybe $200 an ad. It depends. We have a lot of female lifestyle, productivity, small business. We've got some history and education, some entertainment. So those are kind of the genres of the podcast we work with. And I would say in that female lifestyle, we've got some shows that are, you know, in about that 5,000 download per episode range. You know, if you were interested, it's going to be about, I would say, like 150 in ads, probably the cheapest. And really the other thing to think about is that you wouldn't want to ever just buy one ad. If you're really looking to make some, you know, get some traction, you would want to run multiple ads. I usually would say about 3 to 4 is the minimum I would run on one podcast.
That's really good to know. So many people who I work with are like, how do I get my downloads up? How do I get my downloads up? And there's so many different ways, but that actually might be a way that they could see it more quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it just goes back to the whole concept of getting your message out there in front of potential listeners. The other concept that can be a little tricky, but I don't think gets talked about a lot, is doing a feed drop. So feed drops are where you take like maybe a 5 to 10 minute clip of your episode or your show, and you have someone else release it on their RSS feed. So typically the host is going to come out and say, hey, there's this great new show. You got to check it out. And Wondery is famous for doing these. Wondery does them constantly. And usually the podcast will release it as like a bonus episode, typically only stays there for about 30 days. But the nice part is that people get to actually experience your podcast, right? And so if they like your show, then they're more likely to go over. The other cool thing about feed drops is usually you're only paying for the downloads that actually happen on that particular episode where your feed drop is there. So it's nice because you're just paying for the downloads that occurred.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So exciting for you guys who are listening. This is such great information, Heather. Thank you so much. So I come from the TV news world, and there are a lot of newsies out there who want to start podcasts, but they're like, how do I do a host read ad read without actually endorsing the product? Because a lot of journalists don't actually want to endorse a product, but they want the benefit of the host read ad read. What would you say to them?
Oh gosh, that is such a good question. And when, like, coming from newspaper too, it was like, you know, the ad side of the house and the journalists were very far apart, and, you know, we didn't even talk to each other, right? Because there could be no commingling happening. But that's so true.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do think that that can be a challenge. And if you are looking at it from a very like harsh journalistic perspective, I think my number one recommendation, especially if you haven't started your show and you feel like, gosh, my goal is to get ads at some point, if you can have a sidekick of any kind come on with you that is just there to introduce you or to say hello or comment about the weather or whatever, right? If you can just get somebody on the show with you that is not, you're the main scene, right? You are the main host, but if you can get somebody there, then they can do those ad reads for you. You can also do what we would call producer read ads, where maybe the person who is voicing the ad is never on the podcast except for during that ad read. We are working with a company right now that does not do endorsement reads and is much more difficult to sell. So if you are not thinking that you're interested in doing an endorsement read, but ads are really important to you, I would highly recommend that you think about an alternative way of getting somebody on the podcast that can do those host read endorsement ads, because it makes a big difference.
I would suggest listening to how some other journalists read their ads. Because there are journalists out there right now who are successfully doing this. So yeah, listen to how they do it and learn from it. Is there anything you would say out there to a podcaster who might be struggling right now on their journey to motivate them?
I always, in life and in business and in podcasting, I always try to start with the end in mind and think about, why are you doing this? So that first day when you were like, I'm going to start a podcast, like, what made you decide that you wanted to do it? So if you can go back to that why behind your podcast, that's going to give you I think the stamina that you need to continue to produce shows. So feed on that and think about what it is that you're producing it and why you're producing it. And I think that that'll give you what you need. The other thing too is that do the best that you can do with what you have, because putting that best foot forward really is going to help differentiate you from so many other podcasters, because let's face it, there are a lot of shows out there who aren't doing the best that they can do every day. So if you can do the best, that'll help you get ahead.
I love that you say that too, because sometimes it's hard to do your best. So do your best with what you have.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Heather, thank you so much for being on the show. And for those of you listening, if you want to hear more from Heather, please check out her podcast. It is called The Podcast Advertising Playbook. You can also find more on her website.
That's right. And that's all we can do, right? We can only do the best with what we have today.
Exactly. Heather, thank you so much for being on the show. And for those of you listening, if you want to hear more from Heather, please check out her podcast. It is called The Podcast Advertising Playbook. You can also find more on her website, truenativemedia.com. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.